Again, good morning, everyone. Let's go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, as I come before you at this time, I ask that you would speak to me as well as through me. That your message come to me first, being that I am at this place in front of our congregation, and I will receive the message first and pass it on to this congregation that they may also benefit from it as well as myself, all those under the sound of my voice, that we will benefit and we will govern our lives accordingly. Through your grace and mercy, in Jesus' name, amen. I went to a funeral yesterday, and I had already chose this topic to speak about, but it seemed to put a perspective on what is being said. We never know how much time we have on this earth. We try to do what we can and live a full, righteous, and glorious life. I dare say that any of us really accomplish that. We try our best. But in God's eyes, I guess we fall real short. But that's the topic of my lesson this morning. I want to speak to you briefly about time management. And hopefully you will get something out of this that will help you to focus more on how much time do we have here on this time side of life. As from my scripture that I read, the rich man thought he had a lot of time. Lazarus probably didn't even think about time. But we all have a certain amount. Time management is important because of the shortness of our lives. Our earthly residence is significantly shorter than we are inclined to think. Most of us every day, we don't wake up and think about, am I going to die today? And if you did know that you were going to die today, what would you do? You know, would it worry you so bad that you couldn't get things straight? Would people notice that and ask you, what's wrong? You seem out of place today. Well, what's going on? Or would you be calm, cool, collected for the rest of the day, knowing that it was going to be your last? Would you think back on everything that you've done already that you couldn't change? Would you try to change anything? We never think about it. Psalms, and all of my scriptures comes from the New King James Version. Psalms 39, verses 4 and 5, David said, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. I looked up that word handbreadth. Handbreadth is like 3 or 4 inches, the width of your hand. I didn't know that. And as he said, you have made my days as handbreadth. That's pretty short. You know, I've heard other people say, or I've heard somebody say once, if you had a rope 1,000 feet long, and that tip of the rope, you was to paint it black, just the tip, that would be the span of your life as opposed to how long eternity is. We never think about that. We just wake up in the morning, thank God I got another day, and dare say that we don't even think about whether or not we're going to see the end of that day. Because God is so good, we just take it for granted. I woke up this morning, oh, I'm going to go to bed tonight. Time really flies. If you want to see how fast time flies, one day when you're not doing anything, you'll be sitting at home and you see the shadow of the sun flash on the wall or the floor. Look at one point and see how fast the sun moves past that point. And that's how fast time is going, all day, every day. The Apostle James echoes this in James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. A vapor is a fine mist, like fog. It quickly burns away when the sun comes up. It has no substance and leaves nothing behind. It's been a lot of times I wake up, and I'm sure you have also, and seen this, ooh, it's foggy out there. Can't even see but two or three blocks down the street. You might go outside and your car is wet with the moisture from the vapor, from the fog. But when that sun come up, it dries it all up. It's a clear day. You never even knew. If you didn't wake up and saw that fog, you would never know it was there. Nothing is still wet because the sun has dried it all up. It leaves no evidence. Much like our life. Once it's gone, it's gone. Some people will remember you for what you did, the type of person you was. But in time, it's just like that sun from that shadow. Depending on how close you were to him, it fades away. And someone has to say, you remember so-and-so-and-so? They say, who? Because the vapor of your life is gone. Comparing our lives to a vapor illustrates how fleeting our days on this earth are. To live as God would have us to live, it is essential we make the best possible use of our allotted time. Moses prayed in Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. A good way to gain wisdom is to learn to live each day with an eternal perspective. Now, a few ways to develop and maintain an eternal perspective in life. I have about five ways that I'd like to put to you this morning. Number one is make certain that you have been born again. From John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That new birth results in a renewed spirit and a new desire to please God. When we accept by faith the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on our behalf, the Holy Spirit moves into our spirit and births us into God's forever family. That's what we mean by when we be baptized and we arise as a new creature. Well, you're still the same person in body, but you have a new lease on life. You should see things differently. Things that you used to do, you don't do anymore, especially when you know it's wrong. You have a sense of caring, a sense of oneness with God, and you want to please Him because you realize that once you close your eyes forever and ever, amen, you will open them again in a new place. And you'll be standing before judgment, and everything that you've done on this time side of life will come back. You can't change anything. There's no do-overs. Whatever you did is what counts. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You know, I never thought about that too much before. Being a Christian, I go through life, try to do good, live like Christ want me to live. Don't do all the bad things that I know is bad, curse, drink, all the stuff I see other people doing that I know is not right. I never thought about the suffering part. Christ suffered on the cross. And I have a saying that I like to tell people sometimes, on your worst day, it don't compare to what Christ went through on the cross. But, like many of you, I go to get out of bed in the morning and my back feel like, ugh. I go to stand up and my knees go, whoop. My shoulder hurt. I can't raise my arm up. Sometimes my head be like the cartoon, whoop, whoop, whoop. Blood pressure may not be right. That's just the physical stuff. And then I go out on my way, minding my business. Some guy come past me, cursing me out because I ain't driving fast enough. Somebody else cut in front of me. Some people walk down the street, and they looking at me, what are you looking at? And I'm minding my own business. Some people may even curse you out just because they don't like the way you look. Not to mention those that just do bodily harm. I never thought of that as suffering for Christ. Well, what is my reaction? I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. I want to be like so many others. Wait a minute now. Let me tell you. I'll turn the cheek one or two times. I'll keep on turning the cheek then. But Christ never said a mumbling word the whole time. And I wonder, what does it take to get like that? Study the Word. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And yes, that's number two. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Can we speak the word of God with boldness anywhere and everywhere we go? Can we carry ourselves with boldness in and everywhere we go? I've mentioned this before. Some of you may have seen it later. I've seen it over in Walmart on Credit Road, and I'm sure she's been other places. She'll pass by you, don't even know you, just tell you God loves you. That's bold. Why is it so bold? Because nowadays, you pass by somebody and tell them God loves you. You're crazy, ain't you? You walk around telling folks God loves them. Something wrong with them. Yeah, it is. Filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't mind telling you. We should be that way. We should. We should be telling people about Christ. Tell them what he did for you, kind of life you lived before, what he's done for you now. Invite them to come to church with you. Ask them, do they have any problems? Christ can solve them for them. Boldly. We don't. We want to go along to get along. We receive the Holy Spirit as a gift the moment we are saved. And it continues to work in our lives. However, the degree to which we submit ourselves to it transforming, to its transforming work is the degree to which we can live with an eternal perspective. You know, we talk about free will. If you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, you will do things to help other people. You'll have concern for other people, what they call compassion. But if you don't allow it, you'll pass by somebody else to get it, somebody else to take care of it. See someone standing along and say, oh, I hope they're all right. You won't even stop and ask, you need any help? You okay? We don't allow it. To what degree? When we are filled with the Spirit, we are totally yielded to it. It has control of us. We walk by the Spirit, not being focused on the things of the world. The solution for self-centeredness is to surrender to the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how you can go in any store, well, not any store, but certain stores. Look at how many people are in that line with their lottery ticket. Some of them that thick. You can't get waited on because they are there feeding the thing in the machine to play the lottery. Where's the Holy Spirit? It's not in those lottery tickets. You depend on God, not on the lottery. And then people say, if I hit the lottery, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give some money to this, I'm going to give some money to that. Oh, I'm going to help the church. God already got all the money in the world. He don't need your hitting the lottery to help him. We feel like it. And some of us may end up being like Ananias and Sapphira. Well, I ain't know I'm going to get that much, but I'm going to give some. And that little bit that you do give, it don't compare. Number three, store up treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The treasures we store for eternity are the things done for Christ on earth. Even offering a cup of cold water to a servant of the Lord is cause for reward. When we do stuff for Christ, you don't worry about who know about it. You ain't got to go around telling nobody about it. Because God see everything. And I guarantee you, he's going to bless you when you do it from the heart. And if you do it so that you can be recognized, then you're going to get your blessing. You're going to be recognized, and that's going to be it. I'd rather for God to bless me later on down the road, and it'd be a big secret, than for everybody to know. Because I think I'm a little selfish that way. I think God's blessing is a little bit better than what man gonna tell me. Oh, man, you did a good job. Yeah, that was great. That's not gonna help me too much. But when God blessed me, there's no compare. And I don't care if he just blessed me with the air. I can breathe. You'll pat me on the back ain't going to help me to breathe. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. And then there's number four. Spend time with God and his word. Psalms 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need continual refilling of the truth. Spending time in the presence of God invites him to reveal areas of your lives that are not surrendered to him. We acknowledge and confess those and replace the lies we believe with truths from his word. The continual washing of the word keeps our priorities in alignment with God's priorities. Sometimes I think I'm doing something that I think is right, is good. And truth be told, I'm just doing it for me. You know, I'm not doing it with the intent of praising God. You know, if you do things, God should get the glory, not you. But sometimes I want that glory. Or either sometimes I just do it to get it out the way. Because I got something else on my mind that I want to take care of. And I'm going to do this and get this out of the way real quick. And somebody may say, well, man, you did a great job. Okay, thank you. What I was thinking about was what I was going to do afterward. That was more important to me. And I was wrong. Spending time with God helps us to understand. And he speaks to us, help us to know. Well, I messed up that time. Or I should have said something to somebody. I should have invited them to church. I was in here the other day and left. And it was some kids. Well, I don't think they were kids. They may have been older teenagers. They're out there on the playground. And I should have invited them to church. I thought about it afterward. But that was afterward. I had already left. But I can realize next time, I have another opportunity. I hope and pray the Lord I will. And I just take a moment, because there's nothing that busy or that urgent in my life. I couldn't have took a few seconds and said, how y'all doing? Why don't you come and worship with us some Sunday? Well, if you have an opportunity, you can come worship with us. You know, you come over and play on our playground. We'd love to have you come and worship with us. Just invite them. I could have, as the commercial said, I could have did it. I should have did it. Now I know next time. And number five, stay conscious of the fact that this world is not all there is. As we say, as we sing the song, this world is not my home. It is easy to lose ourselves in daily cares and desires. However, we must stay aware that every day counts down toward our final journey. As our brother likes to say, one day closer, every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Human beings in privileged parts of the world are given to squandering time on things that are unimportant and playful, things that have no lasting value. When entertainment and entertainment and relaxation are important parts of a healthy life, they must never be our priority for a living. My wife and I have family that we know of. I can't be for certain, but I know it's at least 7 to 8 times they have been to, I think it's Disney World. It's in Florida. They go there every year or have been there every year, at least for 7 years I know of. And they have a great time. Nothing wrong with it. 7 years. And it's what, 53, 54 weeks in a year? Out of them 7 years, they haven't been to church one time. I would hate to be in their place when they give an account for their time. And nothing Disney World going to do for them when they face judgment. But they place their priorities on that every year to go. Like a lot of people. I mean, you know, I'm not speaking that we shouldn't go to places and enjoy yourself. You should. That's part of life. If God blesses you to be able to go, go. Enjoy life to the fullest. Conduct yourselves as Christians wherever you go. Tell about God wherever you go. Speak a word in his behalf and conduct yourself accordingly. But if you place going to other places above giving God praise, he even allowed you to live all that time to go to those places and you couldn't once go to church, something wrong with that picture. That's just my opinion. There is no doubt that responsibilities and pressures of this world vie for our affection, our attention. The large number of days pulling us in different directions. The large number of things pulling us in different directions make it easy for our time to get swallowed up in ordinary and lesser matters. These endeavors that have eternal value often get pushed aside. To avoid losing focus, we need to prioritize and set goals. Concerning time management, the worst thing we could do is manage our time as if it belongs to us. Time belongs to God, so ask for his wisdom and how to best use it. Then proceed in confidence, sensitive to his course corrections, and open to God's ordained interruptions along the way. You know, we make plans that we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And then something comes up and we don't make it or it don't take place. And we're so upset. Sometimes we spend a lot of money and planning. We never consider the fact that maybe that wasn't where we were supposed to be at that particular time. And God has intervened. Now, if something was to happen, and you were planning on going somewhere, and then you didn't go, and you realized later that some great catastrophe happened, then the first thing you would say, God looked out for me that time. But before that, man, I was planning on going out, I was going to do this, I was going to do that. Never once did it say, if the Lord will. If you will consider to change your use of time, number one, the first step is reflection. Make a determined, organized, and vigorous attempt to consider your time management. And number two, consider what things God deems valuable. And number three, consider what he has called you to specifically. Now, that one, consider what he has called you to specifically. The first thing you may think of is what God has called you to specifically in church. That's not all. We profess to be a Christian. He has called you to be a Christian. You're a Christian whether you're in this building or not. Wherever you go, in the grocery store, if you are at Disney World, if you are somewhere paying a bill, if you are traveling down the road, you still are being called to be a Christian. And carry yourself accordingly. If you're at home, relaxing in your yard, and your neighbors come out, God has still called you specifically to be a Christian. How do you treat them? People you pass on the street, walking, riding, in the mall, wherever, you're called specifically to be a child of God 24/7, 7 days a week. Consider how much of your time you are currently investing in these things. What God deems valuable, what he has called you to specifically. How much time are you currently investing in that? And then consider what else is taking up your time. Is there anything else? Make a list of priorities and responsibilities and ask God to direct you regarding how changes, regarding any changes that need to be made. I know in my life I need a lot of changes made. Grant you from where I was at one point in my life to where I am now, I have made some changes. But life don't stop right here. I'm looking forward to some more, which is the future. God bless me to get from here to here. And I'm looking forward to go to here before I get stretched out. And I know I got to make some more changes. I'm hoping and praying that God will help me to make those changes and direct me. Every day is going to be rough and hard because the devil is always at me 24/7. I can't stand it when somebody cut in front of me when I'm driving. But I'm dealing with it better than I used to. You can ask my wife. Because I used to. Now I just look at them, you know. I don't say anything, I just look at them, let them go ahead. But before I would, right behind them. I don't know what I could do, but, you know, I just want to let them know, wait a minute now, you know. But we got to make changes. We got to represent God. We got to represent Christ. We got to live up to what we said we are. We should live as if each minute counts, because it really does. I hope something I've said this morning will help encourage and maybe awaken a new desire in you to manage your time a little bit better than what you have managed it. Maybe do some things to make some changes that God will be pleased with. We all fall short. We are human. God knows this. He made us. And he's made provision for us to come to him and repent and ask for forgiveness. And he will gladly help us if we only allow him to. If you are a Christian and you know that you have messed up some and you want God's help, you want us to pray for you as a church, we will gladly do so. As we're about to sing our invitation song, God has put in place a plan of salvation for us. We can tell others about it. They must first hear the word, and they must believe what they hear. If you hear it and you don't believe it, it's not going to be no good. They need to understand that we are the example. Once they hear it and believe it, it should do something to them to make them repent from the way in which they were living, to know that they're not living the way God wants them to live. Then they can confess and make Christ their Lord. Be baptized and raised up as a new creature. And then their life will start anew. It will be one of the hardest things they may ever have to do, is to live the rest of their life for the Lord, following the doctrine and the teaching of the apostles that was given to them through Christ. I thank you all for your attention. May God bless you.